have your Bibles tonight, let's go back to the book of 1 Samuel. Go back, if you would, to the third chapter, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. It will be in chapter 2 as well. And then also, if you wanted to, for sake of time, and I do want to make sure that I am time conscious tonight, find the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18, we will come here in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 3. I want to continue the series tonight, or the message of the day on parents receiving their children. And preach this morning on the importance of, in the position of receiving your child and recognizing that in order to receive your child spiritually and properly and in totality, there must be the understanding that you received your child from God. The child belongs to God. The child needs God. God needs the child. And the way that a parent receives that child is by giving that child back to the Lord. I've had some questions today about, Pastor, what did you mean and when you said receiving the child where he is and or where they are as opposed to the behavior of the child? Does that mean that I'm just supposed to receive my child and let his behavior be what it is? No, especially if their child knows the Lord. Wasn't that you're just supposed to receive the child and let his behavior continue a direction? I'll talk to you tonight about training the child. But what was being brought there is most parental perspective is based on the outward behavior of our kid. And if we're not careful, we get frustrated with that behavior and we don't know how to treat that behavior. I mean, and really and truthfully, it reveals our own likeness and our own image. And the way that that behavior was curtailed in us was through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so as I receive my child, I'm receiving that child for who he is as a gift from God. I'm receiving that child with the responsibility as a parent that it's my job to make sure that that child is able to appear before the Lord. That's the area of salvation. You cannot train a child to be a Christian until he first is a Christian. Be very careful about that, parents. There is right, there's order, there's obedience, there's respect, there's things a child ought to do. But be careful about demanding the new nature from your child if he possesses not Christ. Be careful about just trying to fit him within a mold. It takes a very honest and a very prayerful and a very considerate parent to recognize whether or not your child knows the Lord. It really does strip you of any pride and strip you of anything when you can honestly assess your child and say, hey, my child is evidencing the new life, or my child is not evidencing the nature of Christ. And it's important that you understand that. If you try to direct a child that knows not Christ to walk with Christ, you're going to run into nothing but frustration. Your expectations are not going to be met. You're going to feel that running into them, because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So as a parent, I really got to be prayed up and trusting God. And I'm constantly testing my children. I'm constantly giving them a biblical principle, and I'm trying to see how they receive it or how they do not receive it. Do they identify with it or do they not identify with it? And I'm always looking to understand. And my kids are here tonight, and the Bible says that let a man examine himself and see if he be in the faith. I'm always examining myself to see whether or not I'm a Christian. Say, Pastor, that don't make any sense. Sure it does. I'm constantly looking at how I perceive things and see things. And I think, now, Lord, I'm a believer. I've trusted Christ. And when something comes up in my life, I'm like, no, that can't be right. That's the way of the world. And so I'm looking at how I receive information. I want to follow the Lord, not doubting my salvation. But Paul said, listen, you're always examining to see if you see the nature of Christ. Christ. Whether it's through conviction, whether it's through rebuke, whether it's through peace, or however. And I'm always examining my kids to see if I see the nature of Christ. Not Beverly, she's perfect. But the kids, I'm always examining that. And so we receive our children by understanding that they're a gift of God and giving them back. And then in the process of giving your child back to God, you're doubly blessed because now God entrusts you as a steward. And now that that child, God understands in your heart, belongs to Him, God gives you grace and wisdom and provision and understanding. And I'm able to go before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And so I trust that was a blessing. In keeping with the understanding of parent and child relationship tonight, I want to preach a message to you on failure. And I want to be sensitive and I want to be careful, but I do want to be biblical in our approach. And I want to preach a message entitled, Why Parents Fail. Pick up, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And I want to use one of the characters from this morning's message to give an example of tonight's message. In verse number 11, the Bible says, And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child, that child is Samuel, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now you remember Eli is mentioned in chapter 1. Eli is the priest that saw Hannah praying and thought that she was drunk and so on and so forth. Verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Boy, that's a sad verse for a Christian man or for a believing man for it to be said that our children do not know the Lord. This man was a priest. This man was a minister. This man knew the truth. This man served God. This man stood as a leader. And yet all the while his attention was on these things, he had some failure in his life, and his failure showed up in his children. And the Bible said that Eli, his sons were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Let me tell you something. I want for my children to know Jesus Christ. If you want that, say amen. I don't want you to come to the end of my life and say, or the end of this ministry, and I don't ever want it to be said, well, Pastor Hunter was a good pastor, but his kids were the kids of Belial, and they didn't know the Lord. Listen, if my kids didn't know the Lord, I don't know, man. I would do whatever it took to make sure that I was able to pray and stand. I don't want to lose them. But Eli's got some sons here, Hophni and Phinehas, and they're unbelievers, and they are wicked, wicked men. And you're going to find that they were so wicked in verse number 25 that their own dad is preaching to them a message there about judgment and about repentance. And at the end of verse number 25, the Bible says, Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. They had got to the point where they were going to face the judgment of God. They were as unrepentant and as unwilling to yield. And so now the time of judgment was coming upon them. And God was going to slay these two boys. And by the way, He does. They both die in one day. Their life is taken from them. And so you have a man of God that would be, quote unquote, a success. But you have children that know not the Lord. And by the way, that's not success. And I don't care how many degrees your kid has. I don't care if he invents a cure for cancer. I don't even care what about them. If our children don't know the Lord Jesus, I don't think you can use the word success. And so how do you get from a godly man to sons of Belial? How do you get from a minister and helping people to the loss of his own children? Somewhere there was a failure. And I believe it was a parental failure. And I think I can show you what this failure is in verse number 13 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, this is God speaking to Samuel, and He's talking about what He's going to do to Eli. He says, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. We're going to come back for that. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. God said, Eli, I'm holding you accountable. I'm bringing judgment against you. And I'm bringing judgment against you because your boys are wicked. And Eli, your boys are wicked because of you. Your boys are lost because of you. Your matter of fact, I'll show you how wicked the boys were. If you come down to verse number 13, it was the custom of the priest with the people that when many a man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. That's how God cared for the priest. They were able to have some of that blessing of those sacrifices. And when you find out in verses 15 and 16 that they were taking advantage of that, and so much were they weren't allowing them to do the offering right. And if you wouldn't give extra to them, they would even take it by force. If you look at verse 16, he said, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Verse 17 says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord." You come down to verse number 22. Not only did they abhor the offering of the Lord, they were whoremongers. Look at verse 22. "And Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So here were these two boys. They were stealing from the offering. They abhorred the holiness of the tithe and offering of the Lord. They were whoremongers with the women that were at the temple. And these boys' activity was all evidence that they were sons of Belial. And God said, "Eli, I'm bringing judgment against your house. Eli, I reckon in you a failure. I see the exposure of that failure in your boys." And he said, "The failure that you have, Eli, is that you did not restrain them." Or I would like to put it to you this way. Your failure was you had a failure to parent. And I do believe that parental failure can be summed up with the failure to parent. Some men rule naturally. Some people have a tendency not to be a leader or a ruler. But let me tell you something. Every parent is to rule their own house well. Just because, Dad, you may not like to be a confronter, or you may not like to be a leader, or you may not like to be a guy that does something, there's no excuse that will shirk the responsibility of dad and mom to parent their kids. Now, we live in a day and age anymore where the children are completely in charge. If your children are in charge of your home, you're on the road to parental failure. And Eli was a man who let his boys be in charge of his home, and these boys ended up lost. Eli ends up in the judgment of God, and God says, "Man, you didn't parent your kid." Go, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy 6. Let me show you a verse here that speaks to the responsibility of every parent. And Pastor, what is parental failure? Parental failure is the failure to parent. It's the failure to provide leadership. It's the failure to receive your kid. It's the failure to lead. It's the failure to be involved. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you come to verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Listen, God gave us children, and he expects for us to parent those children, to provide leadership and direction. Now, let me say a couple of words about this. It ought to be mutual. It ought to be mutual. There ought to be the the responsibility of the dad to provide that fatherly leadership and parental. Dad, you stand as a disciplinarian, a loving disciplinarian. You stand as an authoritative. You stand as vision. You stand as accountability. If you have a dad who's not involved in the parenting of the child, you do not have authority. You do not have accountability. You do not have discipline. And you do not have stability and all that. That's the head. That's the federal head of that relationship. If you leave that just to the wife is a nurturer. The wife is a lover. The wife is a supporter to you. The wife stands under the authority of her husband. And so if the man is never involved, then the children look at the mom, and unless it's a very understanding child, they hear words of authority, but there's no backbone to that authority. And so, Dad, you can't put all the parenting on Mom. I don't care how many hours a week you work. I don't care how tired you are when you come home at night. I don't care what it is. We need men involved in parenting. And ladies, you can't steal from your man that position. You can't undermine your man. You can't do what was done to Jacob and Esau. You can't be trickery in how that mother came to Jacob and positioned them. And you can't undermine the authority of the father. And man, when there's a set authority, you should be supporting that. It takes two parents to direct that if they're in the home. If you don't have two parents in the home, then God will give you grace there. But the greatest failure that parents have is we fail to parent. We don't take that responsibility. I'll tell you what, we have a Christian school, and we have some involvement in the youth department. And you give me a kid whose parents are ruling and parenting, and you can see a difference in that child than a parent that is not. And so here we find Eli. He's facing the judgment of God. He's facing the rebuke of God. He's getting ready to lose his position here. His boys are unsaved. And God looks at Eli and says, you didn't parent them. You didn't teach them. What causes a parent not to parent? All right, I got three things here for you. Number one, lack of self-discipline. Lack of self-discipline. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and look, if you would, at verse number 29. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, he's talking to Eli here, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves, what's that word? Fat. Fat. You make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now, here's what was happening. They were stealing the offering that was supposed to be offered to God. They were taking more than what they should, and they were taking it for their own consumption. And these were the boys. But the boys must have been bringing that home, because when God speaks to Eli, God says, you are making yourselves fat with the offering. Now, I want you to go, if you would, to chapter 4, verse number 18. This is powerful. Wait till you see this. Preacher, are you getting ready to preach about me being fat? Kind of, but don't take it that way. Verse 18. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God. Now this, he is the servant that is coming in, the messenger that's coming in to tell him that Hophni and Phinehas are dead and that the battle has gone awry. When he made mention of the ark of God, that he is Eli, fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man, and what does your Bible say? Heavy. Eli was a fat man. He was not fat because he had a thyroid problem. He was fat because he had a lack of self-discipline. And he couldn't control his appetite. And the boys were stealing the offering and bringing it home. And Eli, even though he knew what they were doing, and he got so fat that when the news came about the battle going, when he fell backwards, his body was so heavy it snapped his neck and it killed him. His lack of self-discipline was evidenced by that. Why does a parent fail to parent? Normally it's because it's a lack of self-discipline. It's a lack of commitment. It's that lack of self-control. It's the giving into our feelings. Real and truthfully, we parent the way we feel. If we feel tired, we don't parent. If we feel like we don't want to be bothered, we're more kind when we should be authoritarian, and we're not careful. We're not filled with the Spirit of God, and we're not having that temperance and that self-control, and we lack self-discipline. We can't get out of bed to pray and read and do all these things, and then when it comes to our children, we don't have the discipline to parent. Listen, it's hard work to be a parent. It's consistent work. It's dead dog tired. And I have found that the more I walk with God, the better parent I am. You let me not walk with God, and the more lack of discipline I have. And the greatest failure that parents have is the failure to parent. And most of that's because we have a lack of self-discipline. It would be amazing and important for you to understand that it takes energy, and there ought to be that investment of that in the rearing of our kids. Number two, look if you would, chapter 3, verse number 13. In chapter 3, verse number 13, he says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he," say it, class, "knoweth." Not only is one of the reasons for the causing of failure to parent is lack of self-discipline, but what about laziness? Laziness. Now, here's where we run into problems, parents. We are not lazy to get up and go to work. We are not lazy to provide a good home and a good living and a good this or a good that. We are not lazy to remember birthdays, and we're not lazy to buy presents. But where we get into problems is when we are lazy in the area of discipline. Now hang with me just a little bit. Discipline. Eli knew that his boys needed to be disciplined. But because of his lack of self-discipline, he was brought into a lazy position. And he didn't exercise it. The Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother what, class? Shame. Can I show you something? Can you hold your hand here and go to Proverbs chapter 13? I want to show you a couple of verses you need to know. It's important in understanding how to train your kid. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and look at verse number 24. The Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, his son, chasteneth not on his behind." So my dad used to say, but that ain't the Bible. "Chasteneth him," what's that word? Betimes. 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 Pastor, all I do is discipline my kid. Good. I get these young mothers, they come to me, and dad's at work all day, and they say, "Man, Pastor, it seems like all I do all day is have to get after the kid." Yes. Now, dad, when you come home and you're in that home, mom should not have to be the disciplinarian when dad is in the home. Every dad better hear what I'm about to say to your wife. Wife, understand this. If your man is sitting on the couch and you have to go and discipline the kids, he is lazy in that moment. I know, men. If your wife comes to you and says, "Are you going to do something?" We hear me, right? You know why? Because my wife comes to me and says, "Are you going to go in there and spank your kid?" I don't want to go in there and spank him. He deserves a spanking. I told you which one it was. I I have met with people all day. I'm dead dog tired. I don't want to go in there and have to argue with him. But let me tell you something. I don't want my boy to go to hell. It's my job. I don't want to be a failure as a parent. And so, men, if your wife is having to encourage you to do the discipline, there is a problem with the way you're parenting. And laziness gets in there. And God says, Eli, you knew they were doing this. What in the world? Laziness. There's other verses I give you about going. Number three. Look, if you would, in verse number 13 again. It talks about the fact that along with that, he knoweth their iniquity. There's a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. He knew about what was going on, but he wasn't spiritual himself. Look at verse 35 in chapter number 3. Verse 35 of chapter number 3. There is no 35 of chapter 3, Thomas. What did you do? Maybe it's chapter... There ain't a 35 anywhere on the page. Man, that was a good point, too. Did I write that down somewhere? Where does it say that he was a faithful priest? 235. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. Faithful priest. So you had a man in a position, but he wasn't faithful. And because he wasn't spiritually faithful himself before God, he could not be spiritually faithful to his kid. So a parent who's not spiritually faithful, there's no way they're going to the Lord themselves, there's no way they're going to be able to parent spiritually faithful. So you have, Pastor, what would you consider failure to be for parents? Well, the Bible said that failure for parents is the failure to parent. What causes that? Lack of self-discipline, laziness, and especially in the area of discipline, and not being spiritually proper ourselves. By the way, there's a consequence to the failure of parenting. And I want to show you this consequence, and you better be afraid of this consequence. Go to chapter 3, look at verse number 22. The Bible says, now Eli was very old. Okay? Now, he wasn't very old while his sons were learning these behaviors, but he's very old now. And heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. What was the consequence of Eli's failure to parent? The consequence was he lost his ability to direct his kid. He lost the ability to be influential in his kid's life. Does that remind you of anybody else in the Bible who also lost the ability to be influential in their kids' life? David. What about another man who had a tent? Lot. You remember when God said, I'm going down there, Abraham, and I'm going to destroy that. And those men go into that city. And the Bible says that Lot went to his sons-in-laws and tried to get them out of Sodom. And the Bible said they looked at him as a man who mocked. And they mocked him. And here they are on the edge of destruction. And if ever there was a time when dad needed to be influential, he had lost his influence. Now let me tell you something. Consequences never show up immediately. So all of us young dads, you like that, don't you? Us young dads who have young children, you may not be proper right now in the way that you're organizing or parenting all the young parents. And you may not be applying the Bible principles, and you look at everything and say, everything's okay. But the Bible says there is a law of the harvest, a law of sowing and of... The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So when God came to Eli, God said, I've been watching your boys. I've been watching the way you parent, man. And you didn't do a thing. And so God looks at us, and he sees us in the youth of our lives and with our children, and he thinks, why aren't they doing this? Because I promise you, there will be a day when those consequences will show up. And there's people seated in this room tonight that if they could stand and give a testimony, they would say, God will not be mocked. There are consequences to that. They don't show up immediately. They show up down the road. But listen, if you have lost the ability to influence your child, there will be a day where you will be like Lot and you will want to scream from the top of your lungs to make a change, but you won't have the authority. You won't have the grounding to do that. And so the consequences of failing to parent your child is you lose the privilege of parenting your child. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. You don't want to be in that place. Not only did he lose the ability to influence his kid, he lost them. They went to hell. He lost the peace and happiness of his home. All because he didn't parent the kid properly. Consequences of failure. What's the cure, Pastor? If the failure is the failure to parent, the causes of failure is really a lack of self-discipline and a laziness and not being a spiritual right and faithful in myself, which evidences my child. And then the consequence is one day I'll lose the ability to influence. Then what's the cure? What do I need to be doing now? I'm glad you asked. Go to Genesis chapter 18 and we'll finish up here. Genesis 18. God is speaking here. They're on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. They're on their way to destroy the city. And God stops off to let Abraham know about it. And Abraham is interceding for that, for them. And the Bible says in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Listen to what he says about Abraham. For I know him. Man, what a statement. By the way, God knows you. That he will, what's that word? Command. He will command his children and in his household after him. God said this. God said, I'm going to tell you something about Abraham. Abraham has a will to parent. He has a will to parent. God says, I know him, and in his will, he will command his children, he will teach them, he will parent them. Listen, parenting is a matter of our will. I have found that I do what I want to do. I make time for the things I want to do. I can organize according to the way I want to organize. And it is imperative, Mom and Dad, that we begin in our will to have a desire and to have a determination that we're going to parent our kid in our will. If we don't make that determination in our will and we're just going to let it happen, it's not going to happen. There must be that commitment. That's why I'm preaching, receive your kid. It involves your will. God said, I'll tell you about Abraham, man. He's made a determination in his will that he's going to do right by his kids. When you make a determination in your will that you're going to parent according to the word of God, it will affect every area of your life. It will immediately affect your calendar. It will immediately affect your ideas. It will immediately affect your vision. But we need some parents just to say, listen, I reckon my kids are a gift of God. They belong to God. They need God. And I want to be the parent that directs them to know God. If you believe that, say amen. And we need that. Pastor, my home is out of control. My kids are out of control. And I already can see that I'm losing influence over my kid. My kid might be three. I tell my kid to do something, my kid screams no at me. Let me tell you something. You have a problem. you have a problem if your kid looks at you and screams no at you, mom and dad. It's not the fact that the kid is rebellious. He is exercising that sinful nature, or she's exercising that sinful nature. They are exposing that. That kid exposes that. That has to be dealt with. If you tell your child, a small child, to go do something, they're not going to do it. You've lost influence. Oh, they're tired. Oh, they're not feeling well. Oh, they've been up all day. You know, they're just in their terrible twos. No. No, they're not. You're their parent. And you better understand how to parent that child in that willful rebellion. If a three-year-old's not going to do what you want them to do, what do you think are going to happen when they get older? Well, they're just going to grow out of it. I wonder if that's what Eli thought. I wonder what that... No, you're their parent. Pastor, my kids are out of control. What do? The first thing you do is you get yourself under control. What does that mean? That means you yield yourself to the filling of the Spirit of God. That means that you ask God for that wisdom and that ability and that lack of discipline. You take temperance, that control and that discipline, and you understand that laziness, and you ask God to forgive you of that laziness. You get yourself spiritually right. Then begin to do some things with your kid. Let me give you a couple things I got from Andrew Murray. I thought they were great. I want to give them to you. Number one, write these down. Don't give too many commands to your child at one time. Don't give too many commands to your child at one time. Give them a command, something they can understand, and let it be at that. See, when you get in the flesh and get out of control, you begin to just spew out, do this, do that, rah, rah, and all these commands. No. Give your child a command at one time. Number two, do not command to your kid what you cannot enforce. Don't tell your child that you're going to do something when you full well know you're not going to do it. Lying is not the way to parent your kid. Don't tell your kid you're going to throw every one of their toys in the garbage when you know you're not. You've got a fortune invested in them. You're at least going to put them on eBay. Don't give your child a command that you cannot enforce. Now, if you tell your child... you're at the store and your child is disobedient, when you get home, you're going to get punished for that. You better punish them. Keep your word. You better do it. Don't give your child more than one command at a time. Don't command something you cannot enforce. It absolutely entrenches them into rebellion. They don't run into any authority. Number three, when you command your child, do it in a quiet, deliberate tone. Use an authoritative, quiet, deliberate tone. Not at the top of your lungs. Let me ask you this. The Bible says that when the Spirit of God speaks to us, He speaks to us in a still small voice. He'll scream at you. He uses a still small voice. You ever been in a circle or in the mall or in a store and you can hear a parent screaming at their kid and everybody knows what's... Don't do that to your kid. When you command your kid... command them in a still, small voice, authoritative, low tone, get their attention, and enforce what you're saying. And number four, be Spirit-filled. God gives you a conscience, and you're in the middle of something, and you are... angst up, or your anxiety is going, and you want to say something, but you're pricked from saying it, and somehow you feel like it's not the right time. That usually is the voice of God. What follows behind that is the rage of flesh. And God pricks a parent from going in and disciplining without the Spirit of God, which is tremendously ineffective. He pricks you in your thought process that, hey, maybe this isn't the time. Let me cool down. Let me get right. And then you feel your flesh rage and you go in and rage on your child. That's when discipline can turn into abuse. That's when you do things you shouldn't or say things you shouldn't and you don't discipline properly. And listen, you can't afford to discipline your child and not be right with God. They got to see in that discipline the love of God. But if I'm completely in the flesh, they don't see the love of God. They just see their parent beating on them. Do you understand that? Say amen if you understand that. And boy, we know how that spirit pricks us as we do those things. Why do parents fail? We fail because we have a lack of self-discipline. We're lazy in our disciplining of our child. And we're not spirit-filled. What is parental failure? It's the failure to parent. God got all over Eli for that and judged him wholeheartedly. The consequence of that is you're going to one day lose your ability to influence your child. And the cure for that is the determination of our will. Joshua said, as for me and my house, God said about Abraham, I know his will, and his will is that he's going to train his child. May we have wills to be obedient to the word of God. Shall we pray?